Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, the world according to Velvet. This is Velvet reporting live from planet Earth, and we have a very special guest here today. I'm going to let her introduce herself.
My name is Stephanie Bates. I am originally from Virginia, and I've been enjoying the wonderful experience of Montana for 3 years now.
And so Stephanie and I met sort of in a divine manner last November, and we've been connected via this cool thing called the internet since, and it's really a blessing to have her here again today. And so because it's Friday and because we go wherever we want to go, I wondered if there's anything in particular, Stephanie, that you want to talk about in relation to either who you are and why you're here in our lovely little town, and or about what you want to share with the listening audience. Because I believe in that everything happens for a reason, and if we can just get out of the way and let spirit speak through us. Is there anything that you're getting that you want to share with us?
I want to share with people that how special Whitefish is, the community of Whitefish. I've traveled throughout Montana. It's a gorgeous state. I've traveled a lot extensively in the United States. And when I stumbled upon Whitefish, I found loving people, open-minded people. I cannot find proper words to express myself, but it is a blessing to have this place here, and everyone should come and visit.
Perfect. And so do you have any idea how I was wondering if you have a sense of your personal relationship to Whitefish.
I was meant to be here. I'm drawn here to the community. I enjoy people. I enjoy gathering people of different sorts, eclectic people, and visiting with them and sharing and learning our stories and being purposeful and loving the earth. And I see a lot of potential in me for that, and I see it exists currently.
And I think the other thing, I hope you don't mind me sharing, is that, we just had a full moon in Sagittarius on Tuesday, and Stephanie is a Sagittarius. And so I sort of think that there is something for me, because you know how the world shows you what you need to be shown. And I think that there is something really powerful right now about the Sagittarian energy for two reasons. One is that, it's the half man, half horse, okay? And the other thing about the Sag is the Sag has a bow and an arrow, and the arrow is pointing the way. My friend Jen said that, and I knew a lot about Sagittarian energy, but Sages see, oh, there she is right there. Go get her. Sagittarians see what others can't see. And I think that Stephanie is showing me is that we have the potential to all kind of embody that Sagittarian energy, because we have the Sag energy in our charts. Everybody has Sag energy in her chart. I have Sag rising, so it's my first house, and so to a lot of people, I appear very Sagittarian, whereas Stephanie has it. Her son is in Sag. I don't know what the rest of her chart looks like, and I don't know what house her Sag energy is in, but all of us, every single one of us has Sag energy. And when we have a Sag in our lives, Sagittarians teach us about how to be joyful.
Yeah.
Sagittarians teach us about truth. Yeah. We were talking earlier about how Sages are known for being truth tellers, and sometimes blunt, because Sagittarians see what the rest of us can't see. And when a Sag is balanced, They're in their heart. And I think I've talked in here before how the Sag energy rules the pericardium. And the pericardium spins around the heart, allowing the heart to be open. And only when our heart is fully open can we access the truth. Okay? And I think we have our own truths, you know, and I think a Sagittarian gets out of balance when they become dogmatic and not, they can't discern between universal truths and personal truths. And then they think, well, sort of like if you think about Christianity or Islam, it's black and white thinking. Sages have, I know as a, that I have been at fault for black and white thinking and that I can only see black and white sometimes. And I, however, when the heart is fully open, we access our truth and we can be in alignment with our truth. And yet I get the sense that Sagittarians have access to universal truth, but their hearts have to be fully open. Does that make sense?
It makes sense, and I agree and understand.
Okay. So the other thing I think that why we need Sagittarian energy so much right now is the joy. Because
love to play
and have a good time and get goofy and get silly. Sagittarians can get chaotic joy.
Yes.
And chaotic joy is when that pericardium isn't functioning and too much fire builds up around the heart. And I think the Sag energy, I think as a culture, we our culture can get chaotic joy. That's the manic. That's the manic energy, right? And sometimes we are manic because if we really feel deeply, we could get depressed. And, we'll, and I think there's a fear of being depressed. But we do this, we have this biology of Kundalini group, and one of the women is a Sag as well. And she's always had those big swings, okay? And I think she said she always resisted the depression, and the more she resisted it, the longer she stayed in it. Instead of opening and understanding that a Sag with that ability, they're just after Scorpio, right? So they can feel deeply, but they can pull out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So the deeper a Sag can go, the higher the Sag can go.
That's interesting because when I, in the winter, when I can't get outside, that's when I experience depression. I get outside. I'm around people, and I'm lifted up. I love to be around people. I thrive around. I love people, and I thrive around them, and the outdoors as well.
Well, so then as you're talking, what is also brought to mind about Sag energy, so all the fire elements are athletics. They're tied to athletics. Sages are team players.
Yes, I don't like to compete.
Well, they, and they... Because they need athletics, they need to stay, they need to keep their bodies moving. They got that horse body, right? They need to keep that horse body moving, and it's about creating a team.
Yeah, exactly.
And I never thought about that before until you said that, is that that is the gift of Sages right now, is we need to be team players.
Yes.
We need to move out of our own self-absorption and keep an eye on the ball, keep an eye on the future. Don't get stuck in the muck. Just keep playing the game, so to speak.
Coming from D.C., I see self-absorption in everyone. And I come back here, and it is very relaxing to see that people aren't as self-absorbed. But you can see it every day. And I don't let it rub off on me.
Well, and I think I think they're here kind of, it's a different kind of a self-absorption. It's like I don't see as many people playing the game here, but I see them becoming so individual that they're so obsessed with what they got going that they don't see the team. And we just had a new guest walking in. Jen is here. Our lovely Jen from Gaia Journey. Her hair looks really cute. I can't show you a picture, but it looks really cute. And I'm all about playing the game, right? I'm all about how we look. But anyway, Jen is here, and we haven't had her on the air, I don't think, since you got back from your trip.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Do you want to talk right now, or you want to eat your mango? We were just talking about the Sag energy again, and the Sag. And what we were just talking about is a piece that I never got before is that Sagittarians are team players.
Mm-hmm.
They're athletic, right? And they keep their eye on the ball, but unlike an Aries, which is like, they're like leading the pack. They're not, they don't care whether it's a team. And Leos, I forget, you know, I forget how they're athletic. But we need team players now. Mm-hmm. We need people who can keep us focused on our objective.
I volley the ball to a teammate and let them get into the game. I don't do it myself. And I could put the ball over the fence, but I volley to the team, my other teammate.
Right. And I think that, so we were talking earlier about groups and how sometimes I resist groups because I have a hard time holding my own in a group. I have a Sag rising, but I have all that freaking Pisces energy that just makes me want to introvert over you, you know.
Okay.
So I'm getting this new awareness of the importance of the Sag energy. And because, so Saturn is at 1 degrees Sagittarius.
Right now.
I think it is. It was at the full moon. It's going to go back into, it's going to go back into Scorpio, guys. I hate to tell you that. So, but the gift of going back into Scorpio is we get to look a little bit more about how we're suppressing our emotions, our creativity, our sexuality, and our power. We get to look at that till the end of the summer. I think it's the end of the summer.
So then, how long is it going to be in Saturn?
Well, it's in almost, Saturn is going to be in Sagittarius with a little bit of playing around in Scorpio for almost 3 years.
Oh, yeah.
It's usually 2 years. It's usually 2 years, but for some reason we get to work with the Saturn and Sag because I think we get to look at, we get to clear any dogmatism. We get to clear any misuse of sexual energy because when the pericardium isn't functioning properly, we're all loin baby no heart. Or we're shut down, right?
Yes.
You know? And we get to understand, I'm not going to answer that. Sorry, guys, if you're trying to call in. The other thing about Sag is I've talked a bit, I don't know if I've talked about it on here, but I've talked about Prometheus. Do you know the story of Prometheus? So Prometheus picks up this, I think he was a Sag. So he picks, I made that up. He picks up red dirt, all right, but because Prometheus has the gift of foresight, he sees all the travails that man, not woman, man, are going to go through, and he has so much compassion that he begins to weep. And his tears fall into the red dirt, okay? The only gift left because his brother, who means epithemus, which means afterthought, gave all of the other gifts to the animals. So the only gifts to give man are compassion and foresight. So he makes man, even though he sees that mankind is going to go through all kinds of travails, because he sees something that that nobody else can see. He sees some outcome or some potential within the male earth being that nobody else can see. And I think 3 years, almost 3 full years of being Saturn and Sag, the opportunity is to heal our hearts and, you know, and we each have our masculine energies so that so we each have a little bit of mankind in us and womankind. I'm making that up.
No, it's true.
Okay, so we get to see, we get to heal from all the travail that mankind has gone through since the creation of man. Womankind has her, has different, she got a bunch of different gifts. You know, according to the mythology, she got the beauty of Hera. She got the curiosity of somebody. That's kind of what got her into a little bit of trouble. She was also given that box. She was given, that's the first woman, according to that mythology. And so she, you know, she had so much curiosity, she opened it up and let everything out but the hope.
Oh, no.
What if it's all perfect? Right? Because if, I mean, there's that whole debate over whether it was false hope or whether it's that faith. Again, you know, again, these stories have been distorted and you know. So, okay, woman's got hope left, or faith. Man has woman. That's her other gift. That's the other gift from the gods, is man's got woman. And man has foresight and compassion when their pericardiums are functioning. So we get to heal collectively our pericardiums so that we can be the archer, so that we can be a human animal embodied with the spirit. I made that up. Any case.
Well, I just want to say that obviously the media also thinks that Sagittarius is important because of Hunger Games, and a lot of the movies always have the archer or the 13, which isn't it like the 13th constellation or something?
Well,
is that in between
that's
Scorpio?
That's in between Scorpio and Sagittarius. And that's where Saturn is right now. It's the snake charmer, the snake healer. It's the healer. It's the energy of the healer. What does that mean, Jen?
I don't know.
So, and again, these are all symbols, right? They're all archetypes. And there was a guy who was talking about the difference between stereotypes and archetypes. So is the archer in the Hunger Games a stereotype or an archetype? Well, and the only thing that I'm kind of wondering is what some Native people have told me is that man was a hunter way before he was a warrior. And man only became a warrior because of wounding. And so before they were a hunter, they hunted food. And I think there was a time before mankind didn't even kill food, they just would hunt. You know, when they were in tune with the cycles of the sun, the masculine was in tune with the cycles of the sun, they go out into the world and they would find, you know, because we were hunter-gatherers. Were we gatherers before we were hunters? Before we were killers? I don't want to judge people who eat meat or even me who eats meat, but if there are stories that say humans didn't eat meat until a crisis occurred. That we lived on the bounty of the land. We were given fruit and nuts, or maybe we didn't even eat, I don't know. Anyway, so is what's occurring now is the warrior archetype is changing.
I definitely think so.
To not fight.
Well, in the movie, she's actually a hunter who has to become a warrior.
Oh, mm-hmm. Well, that's right.
Yeah, so she's really just an archer.
Right.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And so, okay.
The woman's side.
Okay. And that's the other thing is that Stephanie here is a woman, Sag, and
the healer.
Yeah.
I'm a nurse. I'm a healer, and I'm drawn to people who I've sent need help.
Okay.
And I often put them before me. And that is a problem.
Well, it's about learning balance.
Right. Learning balance and get the pericardium functioning.
Well, and so it's funny that you should say that because I'm writing this story while the story's writing me, right? And in this story, I was a dragon rider, okay? And I was one of the finest healers from Atlantis. I lost my way, and I became a warrior. And the same energy that I use to heal, I use to throw fireballs at the... I'm sorry, I didn't mean to throw that at you. I learned to throw fireballs for protection. Well, it was somebody else in my life was... Their destiny was to become a warrior. Because I lost my way, I lived their destiny instead of staying in tune with my own. So I learned to take that energy that made me a powerful healer, and it made me a powerful warrior. But what I get the sense of, I was never destined to be a warrior. And I had to learn some things, right? But it's not my destiny to be a warrior. And what if it's not? I mean, everything happens for a reason, right? But what if this whole warrior thing is done? And we have to remember that the same energy that we use to protect ourselves or to kill is the same energy we use to grow food, to grow humans, to grow communities. Does that make sense? Okay. You have anything to say about that, either of you?
Well, we don't need to be violent anymore to protect ourselves. So we don't need to be that type of warrior, not a physical warrior.
And we have, and maybe it's about being like Ripley, my little dog, who everything he does with joy, which is very Sagittarian energy.
So I'm going to be a
devil's advocate. He's got Pluto and Scorpio.
I'm the Pluto and Scorpio generation. Do we need to be violent to protect ourselves?
No. Do you think we do? What's your take?
Well, if we look back in history, if history is even real.
That's right. That's the question.
But could Martin Luther King have survived without the Black Panthers? Could Gandhi have done anything that he did without the warriors? Because did Martin Luther King or Gandhi really do anything, or were they just the voice for the people behind the scenes who had to do the dirty work? So this is just me bringing it up because this is a question in my mind. How can we not use violence against psychopaths? What if psychopaths are in charge? Then we're just going to kneel down and be in, and I don't know, heal ourselves. I see what you're saying. I'm just bringing up a lot of what my generation is posting on Facebook right now, especially like the anarchists and police stuff. And so if you're like, if you're faced with like a psychopathic police, entity, like a terrorist psychopathic entity, then what are you to do?
Okay, so which brings up my other favorite archetype, Boudicca. Okay, so we have right here. So in that story, she is a historical figure, okay? And in that story, it was a time when the Romans or the patriarchy was sweeping west. And she lived on the island of, I can't remember what they called it then, Britannia, whatever. And she was married to a chieftain or a king of a tribe. In order to keep his family safe, he compromised with the Romans, and he did keep his family safe. But as soon as he died, even though he gave the Romans half of what he owned, he gave the daughters the other half. And according to Roman law, women had no rights. And so they came to their place and took Boudicca, they and she was a queen, a chieftainess, whatever, because that was their language, right? That's theoretically where king and queen came from. Okay, I don't know if I'm making that up. But anyway, they strung her up, just like Jesus, you know? They strung her up, and then they whipped her, and then they raped her daughters in front of her. Okay, so she, according to the mythology, this is mythology, not history, which is real, we'll decide. She pulled up the energy and started channeling the energy of the Morrigan, the war goddess, okay? And it was her wrath and her power that allowed her to pull together the tribes of Britain in the way no man had been able to do. Okay, so she was an amazing military tactician. Well, the Morrigan was, the goddess of war, was an amazing tactician. And she went and they routed London. They burned London to the ground.
Yeah.
The thing is, and again, they became brutal. Well, and again, this is a question. Do we have to match violence with violence? Here's the thing that I read this book. This is fiction. So is it real? I don't know. But there was a point where she realized she had spurred this collective to work, right? And even though the Morrigan was coming to her and telling her to do this, not do this, she lost control. She couldn't direct the mob anymore. Okay, so mm-hmm. she lost control mm-hmm. because the group mind was so focused on violence that she couldn't lead them anymore.
Well, and I have something to say about that too, because I think sometimes I'm just going to devil's advocate myself. Is sometimes when you combat violence with violence, then you just overthrow one control regime for yet another
right.
control regime.
Right.
However, how do we get to a point where we eliminate the psychopaths and have, for all intents and purposes, anarchy, which I interpret as just no authority and communities ruling over themselves?
Right.
Because I don't see how we can do that peacefully. The 60s came and went. What happened? I mean, yes, a lot of foundational energetic work was done, but in the end, what did they really do? They just killed JFK. They killed Martin Luther King. They killed, Jimi Hendrix. They killed every single person who ever had a voice. They were just, so what do you do with a psychopath like that?
Well, here's something that I keep thinking about the 60s, is they killed the flower movement through drugs and alcohol. That's really how the whole, and this is just my opinion, it got co-opted because of addiction.
From sociology, my perspective is there are four cycles to change. And one of them is violence. And it's actually, and this was before terrorists. I don't remember the other three cycles, but it actually was called terrorism. And this was before 9/11, before terrorism was popular. And terrorists actually are what caused change in society. And so it is important.
Well, and so when I was in Ireland, I studied some of these tribal chieftains. The O'Sullivan, he was a terrorist. Northern Ireland, in Northern Ireland, the IRA was a terrorist. The founding fathers of our government, were terrorists. So I call my little dog Ripley a domestic terrorist, and he chews and he breaks shit up with wild abandon.
He causes change,
stuffing out all of those animals. So I don't know. This is a really good question. Do we need to use anger to create change? Can we create the same change with an open heart? I don't know. We've never.
What would the Sagittarius say? Yeah. Because violence and violet, I forgot. I looked up bio once, and maybe someone out on the internet land can look it up again. But it actually doesn't have the meaning that a lot of people think.
What does it mean?
I don't know.
I
forgot.
I can't.
Violet, the flower and violet, they're very close together. So I think that's interesting. And also, tying this all back to Sagittarius, if we can do terrorism without dogma, would that...
Yes. So that you go and you break up those structures, because it's really about breaking down the structures that don't work anymore. Right?
True.
And when okay. And
the archer is perfect. They're like in
And so, and they are like grounded in this reality, and yet they're moving. And when it's maybe it's about whatever your personal destiny is. If your destiny is to blow shit up, who am I to say that it's okay? Because here's something about, I had a memory of blowing planets up, and oh my God, was it fun. It was so fun to blow things up. And you see some young men. I mean, it's a natural phase for the masculine.
Killing you.
And I think I had a little
genocide.
I don't know if there was a life on it. I don't know. But it was really fun. So I don't want to blow this planet up. I love this planet. And however, there is change. There's cycles of destruction and creation, and you cannot have creation without destruction first. But can we make it fun?
It would be nice.
I don't know. Is this just like a...
No, I think it's a good talk, especially about Sagittarians with a Sagittarius.
Yeah, and a Sag rising, and you're the opposite, Gemini.
Oh.
So Gemini... What is it you want to share, Miss Opposite of Us?
You guys are decisive. You guys are the decisive force that maybe brings unity to the duality of Geminis. I mean, you guys are with a,
keep the focus,
an arrow.
All right. Any words that you want to say
before we close her down?
Velvet is an amazing woman. I can't say enough wonderful things about her. She oozes love and goodness and teaches well.
I hope I bring joy, and I bring chaotic joy. I wonder if that's what brings change with some of the Sag is chaotic joy.
Chaos definitely creates
change. Anyway, any wrap up words?
No.
Okay. Well, this is Velvet and Jen and Stephanie reporting live from planet Earth, conjunct the center of the galaxy. Adios. Das Vidania. Mayo con Dios. I forgot what that means. But anyway, toodaloo.